All right, let's do this one more time. For the past 2 years, I've been the one and only podcast host of Into the Wrestleverse. My name's Kieran R.H. I was bitten by a radioactive spider. We're doing it backwards. We're all wrong. It's been a while. Yeah, next in the queue, please.
Hello, baby. Hello. Yeah, it's Libby. We're here still. Did you say 2 years?
2 years. I think I had them like literally just before we was coming on. I had a look. I think it was like February 27th, the first episode went out. 2022, obviously.
Wow. Look at that. Anyway, hello, I'm Libby.
Even NetER, we are going, kicking things off the only way we know how, completely shoddily, handlessly. My name is Trent. I'm still sick, which just really completes the trifecta of what the hell is going on with this episode.
Yeah, we're really on brand for this one.
Yeah, this is like the off season. We're not in rhythm. We don't know what we're saying, which is kind of par for the course for Into the Wrestleverse, but
very much so.
Yeah, it's we went off the grid suddenly with no answer. Patreon charges have been paused as a result. Basically, I am taking a step back from WrestleIn. I've never promoted myself as like the owner or the runner or anything like that of WrestleIn. But people very easily put two and two together and figure it out. But yeah, I'm taking a step back, and as a result, kind of wrestling's kind of hit the brakes a little bit. There's still kind of a skeleton crew running it and doing it. But there's, yeah, it's a big change. Wrestling is changing everyone and everything. Yeah, I'm not being very coherent here, but big changes over at wrestling.
Yeah, eloquently.
So basically, look, I put that very poorly. Look, I just think after WrestleMania's been going for 21? When did it start?
It's been going for 22 years.
I want to say the end of 2020. It says it on our logo. Like, it literally says established on our sexy new logo. Established 2020. So wrestling started December 2020. And it was just a way to get friends together at home and a place, and it grew and it got bigger than we ever would have thought. But naturally it takes up a lot of my time. Even doing Into the Wrestleverse, it's like, okay, got to plan and think, are we doing
it
this weekend?
About 4 hours to mentally prepare to have to talk to us.
That as well. Yeah. Getting up and just rocking in the corner like, oh God, it's Trent and Libby again. But yeah, no, like, it's always fun doing the stuff. It's more the anxiety around doing the stuff. It's like, okay, got to get ready, make sure I'm prepared, what we're going to talk about, all that stuff. And that's not just Into the Wrestleverse, that's everything as well. So yeah, it's just WrestleIn is on a skeleton hiatus, I suppose. It will stay up. It's not going to just be deleted off the internet. We will make sure that the history will always be there. Maybe one day things will kick back in. But basically, yeah, I'm just taking a big step back because it's time to focus on me and my mental health a little bit rather than spending all day on Twitter and doing podcasts and trying to make content and trying to make wrestling bigger and better.
So for everyone listening, are you still going to be doing any content, or are you just going completely zero dark 30?
So I'll still be doing my Twitter because that's pretty, like, I can do that kind of with my eyes closed at this point. And I definitely do want to do stuff in the future. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that will be with WrestleIn or that will be with somewhere else. I like to do content. I like to do podcasts. I like to speak about wrestling. I love doing this podcast more than anything. Into Wrestleverse has always been such a fucking joy. But I don't know what that will look like. Like, I want to speak to wrestlers. Like, that's one of the lucky things is that I've made connections and I had interviews planned that I've kind of just put a kibosh on. But I still want to do those interviews. That I've got something to offer in the wrestling community. But yeah, when that happens and how that happens, I don't know. But I just want to make the content, you know. I just want to be like, here's something and give it to someone, and they do all the hard work and they publish it and they promote it. And they, it's the admin of it that's difficult. It's
straining.
It's not the talking to people that you get on really very well with. It's the everything around that no one sees.
Specifically, though, you're also still doing Bread Club, which was what I was trying to.
That's only a month. That's a monthly thing, and it's only a couple of hours with Matt. So, you know, that's not a stress. And then it lets me actually physically speak about New Japan, like, with my mouth rather than my fingers tweeting. Yes. I've taken a step back from like some social media and everything. Like, I've left some stuff on Discord and everything, just like to take a step back because the machine is so bad. And I'm awful at just like restricting myself. So doing this for WrestleMania was a big thing. Like, look, we spent a lot of time creating a new logo, finally got shirts made, and then very shortly after, I've had to, like, throw in the towel. So it's bad timing, but, you know, I just kind of had to make a decision for myself. But I know there's people are quick. Like, there's some people already got stuff in the work from WrestleIn. Like, I think secretly some people were, like, they had ideas and they wanted to run with it, and there's going to be some awesome stuff coming out of this. Like, I know
it's a nice push
for other
people, you know.
I think it's opened the door for lots of people, because I know Ryan is setting up his own Joshi website, and
which Trent, you're a part of, right?
Yeah, so look, Ryan, this is something he's had in his mind for a little bit, and with the stuff going on with Kieran and Wrestling, that was kind of his opportunity to move forward with it. I approached him when he first kind of mentioned it and said, is this a solo project or is this something you'd like me to sort of jump on with? So for me personally, pretty much all of my Joshi writing moving forward, which if we're being honest, is all of my writing, will be going with them. That is going to be on Rezura, which will be opening.
Is it Rezura? Is that the official pronunciation?
It's we haven't.
Can you write it out phonetically?
R-E-S-U-R-A is the spelling. It basically translates.
No,
to
that's not phonetic. Japanese. That's not phonetic.
And it's Rezura Mag on Twitter, right? Like R-E-S-U-R-A-M-A-G. So yeah, basically, if you like any of the Joshi content, you've got on at WrestleIn over the years, and it's been the majority of our content has been Joshi.
Gotta go to those guys. You guys are the experts, the voices, the people I want to hear.
That's a sort of a Ryan project that I'm joining with. Scott's going to be working with us as well. So basically the Ocean Cyclone show in website form. And it's going to be good because, like, Ryan is probably the best Joshi writer in the game, full stop. And no one covers Joshi like Scott, like top to bottom kind of thing. So even though it's going to be a small little project, like, we couldn't be asking for better people on hand.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I with WrestleIn is just I push too much. Like, I wanted tweets going out all the time. Like, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And if you're just doing it as a hobby, as a project, and we'll get stuff out when we get stuff out, that's the way to do it. And, you know, but like we got lucky WrestleIn. Like, the amount of interviews we've done is just ridiculous. We've interviewed guys from AEW, New Japan. They like name a promotion in Japan, and there's a good chance we've interviewed them. Noah, TJPW, Stardom. Choco Pro, like, I will definitely Ice Ribbon, Dragon Gate, DDT. I'm definitely gonna forget, and then, you know, however many people in the independents too, as well. Like, it's kind of crazy our interview catalog compared to you'd think we're up there with like the big boys with your Fightfuls and stuff like that in terms of the caliber of wrestlers we've had, like, as part of WrestleIn over the years.
And that's definitely down to the passion of the people interviewing them. And the want to and the interest. And I think, you know, we've had a lot of really great people who really care about the wrestlers that they're interviewing. You look at someone like Kay, who's just, they're so informed and interested and genuinely really love the people that they're talking to. You know, and I think that's been a really, really beautiful thing, that there's been a place for people. You don't necessarily need to have Fightful clout to talk to someone. It's enough to be just part of something that's really passionate about wrestling and wants to talk about all its many facets and how it all comes together. I think, you know, it's been a really great facilitator for not just interviews, people who just want to write about stuff and have thoughts as well. You know, it was a place, it was enough to give a shit. And it's done a lot of good for, I think, a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it difficult for me to step away as well, is because obviously it is just it's built such a good community as well, like in the Discord, everyone chatting. It's a very friendly environment most of the time. And like, yeah, just the content we make is all top. There's no bullshit. There's no clickbait. It's all got nuance. It's all got depth. It's all sincere. And that's definitely come across over the years. Like, the amount of wrestlers we've had engage with us on Twitter, the amount of wrestlers that will just follow us because we've got a cool article about them. We get so much engagement with these guys on Twitter, and they aren't following everyone. They're not following, you know, these guys that are just tweeting them with, and I'm saying this myself as someone that does this, someone just tags people in clips and videos and stuff. They're because they're getting something different, something that someone's put time and effort into. Like, you know, our Micah interview, Micah followed us as a result of that, and that's Trent's work. Ryan wrote an article about the TJPW Next Generation, and Wakana Uehara followed us up as a result of that. Because
MX and the Young Bucks, that one was pretty cool.
We got a follow from the Young Bucks. Once upon a time, yeah, MX wrote a really amazing article about the Young Bucks, and they DM'd us. We can say this shit now, I suppose. Like, you know, wrestling's kind of changing shape and form, but yeah, they DM'd us and said thanks for the piece, and they DM'd MX privately as well to say, like, you know, thank you. It was really great. I know Trent wrote a piece about El Fantasmo years ago, and El Fantasmo reached out and said that he really enjoyed it. You know, El Fantasmo, the big dickhead heel at the time, he can't say that stuff publicly, but behind the curtain...
He said stuff publicly, which was a bit more in line with his character. Yeah. But then, behind the scenes, he was very... Yeah, I guess what you'd expect from him now.
Yeah, and like, there's guys like... A guy like Jeff Cobb historically doesn't do interviews, doesn't like doing interviews. He trusted the wrestling brand, weren't going to be dickheads. We weren't going to try and be getting contract news and all this stuff, that we were just fans. And that comes across in all our interviews, whether it be me doing a YouTube interview, Trent sending questions that Kyosuke is translating that are going to Japan, and we're getting to speak to Chie Koshikawa and doing her first ever interview in English.
Full stop, not just English.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She told me on my most recent trip that she'd not done any interviews before that one.
Trent just casually, we should mention Trent just casually dropping in there, his most recent trip to Japan, because he was very in Japan, going Choco Pro, Bakugajin, Stardom, New Japan. We definitely need to speak on it. But yeah, in terms of like the Patreon is basically coming to a stop. There isn't enough content to warrant charging anyone for anything. We don't know what will and won't be continuing. Some podcasts are still going out. The schedule might be different. Some podcasts might find a new home. The Ocean Cyclone show might be a thing over at Rizura now. It might be its own thing entirely. Like everyone, the whole thing about wrestling was everyone can do whatever the hell they want on their own time. There was never any strict, like the only thing that was kind of scheduled was podcasts. But if someone couldn't do it, it was never like, well, we're fucked. It was like, okay, you know, we'll make it work. And, you know, everyone's content is their own. Like wrestling doesn't own anything. If Trent Scott and Ryan want to take Ocean Cyclone's own life to Rizura, they can. If Libby and Trent wanted to continue into the Wrestle Verse Without Me and do it publicly, they could. Like, everyone can do whatever the hell they want. They created these are all their own babies. They've all got their own listeners and they're all followers. But yeah, Patreon. So I think it is paused at the moment, but you have to then pause it monthly to keep it active. Otherwise, I think you just have to put a full stop to it, which will be happening sooner rather than later. At the risk of forgetting and people getting charged for nothing, I'm very scared of.
And am I right in saying, you know, like, because obviously we've got Patreon exclusive stuff on there. Anything that's been Patreon exclusive is now, like, will have been also published on the website, whatever, other than this. But I don't know who's gonna be like, oh, where's my episode 68 of Into the Wrestleverse? I can't do without it.
I have no idea how that will work.
You might have to download that if you're a particular fan of one episode.
Yeah, someone download all however many episodes of Into the Wrestleverse for historical purposes.
I can't imagine there's a big hankering for the July 23rd, 2021.
Yeah, it's all very time sensitive. There's not much on Into the Wrestleverse.
But I am correct in saying that anything that's any, you know, Patreon interviews or people's articles that people have enjoyed or whatever,
anything that wasn't Patreon exclusive is out there publicly by this point. Like all the interviews eventually
made it out.
Exactly. Yeah. They were all early access on Patreon. Anything that was Patreon exclusive, I assume, remains Patreon exclusive. And I don't know if you're signed up now and you're listening to this, whether you could come back to the Patreon in a year and it's still not active and you can still view old stuff, or whether the Patreon just kind of disappears. I don't know how it works with Patreon. But I just know, you just kind of have to draw a line under it to make sure people do not get incorrectly charged.
That's the most important thing. Like, if we're not putting out content for the Patreons, we don't want to just be sucking money dry.
Exactly.
And as someone who forgets about stuff I've signed up to, it's the worst feeling in the world if you've been signed up for 3 months. It's like, oh, hang on, they're not even doing anything.
Yeah. And you know, the idea is less admin. So keeping this alive each month is not a reasonable thing. But I also think, you know, it's such a natural part of life. Things start and end and move around, and if this Patreon disappears, it's not a bad thing at all. I think everything has life cycles. It's really good to find yourself and work out what you want, what you're doing for a while. And if you've been part of the Patreon, if you listen to this episode and you're not my mum, thank you.
Well, I think we should
thank your mum as well.
Yeah, but like I thank her all the time, you know. I'm thanking the people who
do you?
My mum listens. Listen, my mum, hey, I'm in a house with my mother right now. I thanked her before I came upstairs to record this podcast. No one knows where I live, so they can't do anything about that. But but my point is that my mum doesn't care about wrestling, and she listens to this because she's just a lovely person who wants to support her child. If you listen to this and you care about wrestling and you like this and you're nice and you leave comments and things, thank you so much. It's so nice. It's been really, really sweet and a beautiful little experience, and to talk to people about not just wrestling, but like this podcast that we goof off every weekend, something that we really wanted to commit to putting out every week and keeping up with. And it's very kind of coincidental. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I want to say astrological, but that is not the word. This has come around on two words. See how people feel about it. Destined, that it's kind of come to this 2-year cycle, and you know, this is the last episode. It's something quite bittersweet, sort of softly melancholic about it, a very celebratory, nice closing to what we've been doing for fun. And that it's been really nice that people have just got on board and jumped on this little boat with us, wherever it's going. We're sailing down a river made of jelly because it's stupid, and the boat's stupid. The boat is really stupid too. But thank you for being on our stupid boat in the stupid river.
I really wanted to stay silent as long as possible to just see how long Libby would go on for, like where we were going to end up.
How long was
very
it?
Very interesting word picture.
A couple of minutes.
Into the WrestleVerse has been the easiest, like most joyful part. It's literally just the three of us have become such good friends over this time, like knowing what's going on in each other's personal lives and everything, because there are many people you physically speak to every week. Like, I'm sure you're texting friends and family that every day, every week, perhaps, maybe speak to them on the phone, but there aren't many you see face to face, even over a computer screen, and spend half an hour to an hour with every week. So naturally we've built such good chemistry and become such good friends along the time. It's going to be very weird to not hear Trent's Australian accent once a week, and to not hear not psycho Libby, what was it?
Oh, unhinged.
To not be fearful if unhinged Libby would be rocking up on a Sunday morning, or whether it would be normal Libby.
She's starting to for a little
is
bit.
Really, though. Is that really a normal Libby? I don't know if that thing exists. Truly, is there a normal? There's. I also was like, I wonder what accent is going to be attributed to me in this moment. I've done many on this podcast.
Well,
I believe white people. So it's okay. Yeah, like I don't think I've done any offensive accents, I hope. It's just been Australian, New Zealand, me.
It doesn't matter if the Aussies get offended.
You've done Japanese that time with Okada.
It sounded like Guy Ritchie,
though. That was the thing.
No, yes.
As all Japanese people sound like.
Yeah, exactly.
Starring the new Netflix Gentleman series.
We're only like a breath away from Guy Ritchie deciding to do a Japanese gangster Cockney film, I feel.
I would so see that.
I mean, current Okada and the Bucks would definitely fit in the Guy Ritchie
world. Oh, yeah. That would be fantastic.
I am loving that stuff. It's like, so
that's so good.
There has been a lot of cool shit happened. What? Not all cool, but like AEW, I feel, are killing it with this Okada and stuff, and Ospreay's off to a fucking flying start. You know, New Japan is fucking shat in the bed with this New Japan Cup, but thank God Tsuji saved our souls. And then Stardom is just fucking topsy-turvy, going that, like, you know, the stuff is good in the ring, and then the backstage, like the announcement that, like, some of the guys are leaving and everything. It's been we've missed a lot of fun stuff to talk about over the past few weeks. But the biggest one was that Trent did go to Japan for 2 weeks. This would have been covered on one of the last episodes into WrestleVerse. But yeah, Trent like was posting pictures in the Discord of being at shows live. He's drip feeding very teasingly, like one picture a week other some of his other locations that he went to that are a bit more off the beaten track. But I know he got the joy of seeing the mysterious El Amigo at Baka Gaijin, which I was very jealous of.
Yes, not related to El Desperado, apparently. Well, is related. Apparently they're cousins because people were tagging El Desperado in their El Amigo pictures. And he's like, oh, look, I appreciate it, but we're cousins. Like, don't get it confused. It definitely wasn't El Desperado at the Baka Gaijin Wrestling. That was definitely the highlight of the trip. I couldn't have asked for a better situation. I wish that people could actually see the match because it was the best Baka Gaijin match I've seen. And I'm not just saying that because I was there.
Yeah, you know, there's probably some bias.
Yeah, but I couldn't say that if I wasn't there because you couldn't see the match. But they went to the roof. They were in the bar area. They let off a fire extinguisher nearly smack bang in my face. it was just like an absolute ball. It sort of tied up the best of what Baka Gaijin is. Very fortunate to even be able to get to that show because if you're not smack bang on the reservation system 7 p.m. when they go out, you will not get a ticket. Like, Chris could run these things in, like, probably Shinkiba or Shinjuku Face and still probably sell out. But he's running it in a little 50-person max bar, and it just gives a certain atmosphere that is, it really is unmatched.
I mean, that's another credit to like wrestling, like the relationships we've built. Like, Trent was able to get those tickets because Trent does the Choco Cast podcast with Jeff. Jeff lives in Tokyo, big Choco Pro fan, goes there all the time, has become friends with Chris Brooks as a result. And that relationship that Trent has with Jeff helped Trent get the tickets for Baka Gaijin.
Yeah, Jeff was able to sort of let me know when to really be on the ball and get them. And Jeff, like, it's great just working with Jeff with all kind of Gatto Move stuff in general because, like, you talk to him about something, he's like, oh, yeah, I was talking to this person about that. And, like, he has such a close connection with everyone there. Like, I've worked with them, you know, together. You know, Kieran and I have sort of worked with the Gatto Move team to get some interviews and sort of features and stuff.
Yeah, we are working on one final fucking interview with Choco Pro and Gatto Move that was meant to come in probably 2 months ago.
Apologize to me. An apology hug, but it still hasn't come through.
Yeah, I've emailed them a few times since me, like, what's going on, bro? But there's hopefully one final interview that we are, Trent and I will tag team on to get out. That's the last thing that I just need to get over the line at Wrestling.
Yeah. That's keeping you in Wrestling. So, like, you'll still be here for 2025.
Yeah, at this rate, the way Choco priority
is all part of the plan.
Yeah, no, the chocolate won't have expired until then.
Yeah. But yeah, look, the trip was fantastic. Obviously, Baka Gaijin was the highlight. Choco Pro was kind of surreal because, like, I was there on my birthday. Kieran and the rest of the wrestling team were kind enough to get a Choco bouquet, which kind of announced that. And then after the show, when I was talking to Kaori-san and a few of the others, and, you know, I sort of introduced myself, said, oh, look, I've been working with you guys on some interviews and stuff. And they sort of connected the dots that it was the Trent that was on the birthday thing. And before I ended up leaving, Kaori-san, who's kind of our point of contact, Sayaka and Chie all sang me happy birthday.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it was a very special kind of little moment. And as someone who doesn't really do birthday stuff and hasn't had that song sung to me in probably a decade, it was a very surreal experience.
I think you was at that show. Was that on the Friday, right?
Yep.
So you was at that show the morning I was at the airport getting destroyed for my stag.
Yes. Like, we had very different experiences on that.
So, like, I'm at the airport where they don't do shots because they don't want people to get too drunk before the flight. So instead, people are just buying me straight whiskey because next best thing. I get a message from Trent, like, with the picture of the Choco bouquet. And then, yeah, like an hour or so later, like, saying they sung me happy birthday. And I'm like, loving it at the same time, trying not to die from my heart on being on fire from Downing Street.
Oh my God.
Yeah, two very, like, complete opposite ends of the time, something like time frame right there. It was like, you know, early morning for me and in the probably late afternoon for Trent in Japan. Yeah.
Funnily enough, the next day I was drinking probably at the same time as you were because I went to the Garage Extra show and after it, they gave everyone free beer.
God damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a way to get people in the door.
Happy fucking 2 birthday.
2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is the earliest I've ever drunk, because I don't normally drink. I would have grabbed the water that they had there, but they handed me a Sapporo, and I'm like, well, I don't mind Sapporo. I'll drink that here and there. So, but it was very weird drinking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm guessing that was just what you were doing all weekend on your stag trip.
Yeah, lots of stuff that is not into the Wrestleverse appropriate.
Not ironically, we need a Patreon. Not that this is a PG show. To get that
yeah.
Stuff.
you need the OnlyFans to get that stuff.
Yeah.
That's Kieran's adventure. That's why he's not doing wrestling anymore. Yeah. He's fully committed to his OnlyFans where he
knows
whiskey.
Where he lies. Get your naked Kieran shots at Only Kieran's.
Only Kieran's. Just him and other Kieran's. You have to
multiple Kieran's.
I remember someone followed me on Twitter once, and their bio was, "I follow other Kieran's," and like their name was Kieran, like spelled the same way, and I was like, "That's a weird flex."
Oh my god! You need to do like that unionized
thing from years ago when like someone with the same name as other people texted them and like, "We're having like a massive fight." All of like the Jeff Smiths on the one true Jeff Smith. You need to do that with the Kieran's.
There can only be one.
God damn it, I can't figure out a way to segue back into anything from all that bullshit. But yeah, no, Trent's Japan trip sounds so fucking cool. And yeah, he is obviously by this point, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you've listened other into the Wrestleverse. But yeah, at 1UP Culture on Twitter to check out the stuff. He's still drip seeking some really cool shit. Like some apps. The snow in the place you went to looked phenomenal.
Yeah, I went to Shirakawa-go, which is kind of a very famous out in the middle of nowhere, like in the course of Japan, but like you can get there as a tourist, obviously, but like it's, you know, a bit of an effort to get there, but it was absolutely magical. I've never been in snow that heavy before. I was taking photos, and I'm like, I need to get a video in case the snow, like the active snow isn't obvious in the photos. And I looked afterwards, I'm like, no, it almost looks like a crackling television screen at some of the shots because there was so much snow.
That's beautiful. What a romantic trip it sounds like you had.
All by myself as well.
You know what? This is a great moment for the movie of your life. You standing in Japan as the snow falls. It's just been your birthday. I can't wait for the Trent biopic. That's going to be a real significant moment, I think.
It's going to be an incredibly boring movie.
I mean, we've just painted a beautiful visual image. Do not give up on this, Trent. I think there's something in there.
Okay, who's playing me?
Oh, man. Everyone always, that's a question people get, like, who would play you in a... Who would play you? Who do you think would play you? Who do you think would do Trent justice?
Well, I don't think anyone could personally, but that's why maybe my arrogance is blinding me.
I mean, they say Meryl Streep can do anything. So,
I mean, I was gonna say why like, not Seth Trent. Rogen? Maybe I don't know why.
Oh, that's a cool one.
Just that lovableness. Cool one.
We talked about Sam Neill before. Maybe he could be like, you know, old Trent.
I'm cool with Sam Neill playing me. Yeah, that's
from
okay
from birth, from childhood to death. Yeah, it's just Sam Neill.
Hey, there's de-aging technology now.
So true.
Crazy is it that Libby in July 2022, 2022, you and I went to interview Mr. William Ospreay. I think the only wrestling interview that I think has been done in person. A lot to learn from
really?
That experience.
Oh, yeah.
Just so much. We probably should have interviewed someone else first in person to work out the kinks before jumping in the Will Ospreay.
Go big
aisle.
Or go home.
That was just shortly after Forbidden Door, the first Forbidden Door. And of course, the big moment for me at that was that Ospreay beat Orange Cassidy, post-match Shibata comes out to make the save.
Yeah.
And then so we sit down with Ospreay. The first question I ask him is, what's going on with Shibata, bro? Because everyone knows I'm a big fucking Shibata mark. Fast forward a year and a half to now.
Wow, yeah.
Will Ospreay versus Shibata in an AEW ring. What the fuck?
I tell you what, like, it is really incredible to watch Will Ospreay's star rise right now. Like, them in Canada this week and for the next couple of weeks. And in his promo, Will Ospreay was sort of apologizing for what he said the last time in Canada. But it was if the audience didn't even remember. you know, the people are so excited that he's there, and he gave a fucking fantastic promo. And he didn't even need to ask for forgiveness. The people were already with him. I just think it's a really, really fascinating time, a really interesting, beautiful time for Will Ospreay. I think he's been doing, you know, he's grown so much in the last couple of years and done some amazing stuff. And I think he's about to hit this new, really, really special era of AEW. And it kind of feels like this is what AEW was intended to be, set up for the Will Ospreys of the world to have a place to thrive in.
New Japan on American television, is that where it was about to be?
Well, it's sort of become that a little bit, I suppose. But also just the idea of it was a place for people of the future to go. It didn't have to be WWE. And, you know, you've got Will Ospreay. Well, Shibata's not the people of the future. But, you know, somewhere other
than... How dare you, madam?
This is the real reason
wrestling is coming to an end. I'm done with this Shibata disrespect.
In the words of the WWE, he's the past, the present, and the future. You know, Mercedes Moné coming out, like Swerve right now, like just that space.
AEW is really, really interesting. Fire, man. Like, I'm not about
they to, have turned it around.
I'm not about to start watching whole episodes of Dynamite, but like, even not doing Into the Wrestleverse, I've still every like, so AEW is Wednesday night. On a Thursday, when I'm having my lunch, I sit down and I watch some of the YouTube clips, the ones I'm most interested in. And I would previously do that just so I could chalk shit and act like I knew what I was talking about when we were recording Into the Wrestleverse, but now I'm doing it because I actually want to. I want to keep up with Will, and I certainly want to keep up with Shibata. Like, obviously, I watched the Danielson match, and I will watch the Ospreay match. And if Tony Khan keeps on doing, like, putting Shibata in big matches and big moments, I ain't got much choice but to become an AEW fan.
Are we getting Shibata Okada?
I wouldn't put it past them at some point.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit soon. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I didn't know. I mean, you know, Okada's got a belt now. Okada also clearly having the time of his life right now. It's amazing to watch him and the Bucks just like be assholes. The real fuck them kids energy has carried over
proper stroke of genius. They could not have made Okada's debut and his time in AEW any better up until this point. They have fucking blown past all my any expectations I had.
We know Okada's better as a heel. He just never could really do it long term because he's too popular in Japan.
Yeah,
but in America, I think they're more willing to go with the, oh, you're being a dick, we're going to boo you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he's a very nuanced performer, Okada. Like, really, really emotionally intelligent. Even you could tell, even though he was supposed to be the face, that he wanted to heal it up and he would find ways to do it. And I think it's just really cool now that he doesn't have to find an angle. He's just, you know, doing what he's clearly wanted to do for quite a while. And yeah, he's got a belt. It wouldn't surprise me if, you know, if Shibata would, you know, challenge for that belt and have a really big match. I would hope that would be a pay-per-view match of sorts at some point.
I think it's just great though, because Tony clearly, like, he's made no bones about it. Like, he absolutely fucking loves Shibata. Like, Tony Khan has said as much before. It's why he made him pure champion and put him in all these spots. And obviously, as soon as the whatever issues that Shibata had to go back home for have been resolved, he's like, sweet, you're back. Fucking take on Danielson. Let's get that dream match out of the way. Take on Ospreay again. Like, I'm in two minds about it. Like, when the Danielson match got announced on like Friday afternoon for a Saturday night show, I'm like, this is a match that could headline the fucking Tokyo Dome. And Tony, you've done a line and you've announced it within 24 hours notice, bro. But at the same time, I respect it because it's one of those things of you never know. Like, let's just fucking do it because Shibata, like, he had to go back to Japan and he missed however many months out of his wrestling career again. Mm. Like, and I respect Tony to do it. I see both sides of the coin.
If there's no quote-unquote star for Collision anymore, why not have these insane matches instead be what draws you to that show, which I'm on board for. That's, you know, what wrestling is. It's not one person. It's, you know, many people. Wow, that's so deep. Oh, somebody write that down. That's incredible. I'm super into it. I really sort of fell off wrestling for a while in a way. And it's just,
has your feeling been restored, Libby? Hashtag restore the feeling.
Oh my god, I wish I understood what I know. I'm supposed to get that, but I have no
restore the feeling.
Idea.
Isn't it like something that they started off in AEW a while back and then it kind of turned into a legitimate thing? Restore the feeling.
Girl, must have blacked out for that.
I'm sure like MJF or something maybe said it. And then recently Will Ospreay gets on the mic and he's like, restore the feeling. I am the feeling, bro.
It's okay, Libby. We know you're not the number one AEW fan on this podcast.
Oh, really not.
No. At this point, yeah, I probably would, be up there.
I think I would never declare myself as a number one fan anywhere at any time, because there are people who are real proprietors of knowledge, and I wish not to challenge them in any way.
You don't want to try and open the gate around them.
Absolutely not. The people know what the people know, and what I know is very little, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm here for vibes, vibes mostly. Intelligence, no, but and that's fine.
Trent, what's going on with Stardom? Five people, and so I know Tokyo Sports broke the news that the five guys were leaving.
Then did five Stardom... guys were leaving. Sonata's leaving.
Not those. Stardom. Not those five guys. Five gals were leaving. Yeah. And then I saw like Stardom. I saw people say that Stardom. Did Stardom officially announce these five people are leaving? Did they put out like a post
Tokyo Sports announced it, and then like they announced it overnight or smack bang in the morning. I woke up and the news just dropped, and then sort of midday Japan time, they started made an official announcement. I think just to like, okay, look, this is true, and we kind of need to address this because a couple of them will be gone by like this time next week, and then
did that come through the mic?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think he's ever been heard on the mic before. He's this is my last chance to let the people hear my voice.
Guest appearance.
And then proceeds to put the ass to the microphone. Yeah. Very fitting. But yeah, so Julia.
I'm sorry, Trent, but please put a fart.
That requires post production. We don't do that.
We never do that. Everybody listening, imagine a little fart. Go back in your mind and imagine a tiny fart there. Sorry, Trent, carry on.
It's okay. Julia we knew was leaving. And then the other names that got announced was Utami Hayashishita, which is the biggest of the four new names. Mirai is leaving. Mai Sakurai is leaving. And the very highly touted rookie, Yuzuki, is also leaving, which is probably the biggest surprise of them all. She started wrestling with them in November. So I don't know what the contract situation is that allows her to be gone. We kind of worked out maybe she signed a one-year contract from when she started training with them. But they're the five names that were announced. Not quite the mass exodus that was getting predicted, but it's a good chunk of talent, a nice mix of high-level talent, up-and-coming talent. And the reality is there's still names that could leave after the fact, depending on when their contracts do expire.
It's going to be such an interesting time. Like, I, it's not in a good way, but it'll probably end up good, like Stardom having a challenger, I suppose.
Honestly, this is probably a best case situation.
Yeah.
Kind of like how WWE for a long time were maybe resting on laurels because there was no competition to them.
Right.
Stardom obviously has TJPW, but they are on very different platforms and they operate very differently. Rossi's promotion coming on board now basically forces Stardom to up their game. And if they want to keep talent, they need to prove to that talent why you should stay with us, either by giving them opportunities. Rossi can't, by pushing them. This next year is going to be very interesting because we've heard rumors there are certain talent that wants to leave but can't because of contracts. This is Bushiroad's chance to earn them staying or losing them to Rossi. So it's going to be interesting. But more platforms for the Joshi, both within Stardom and the freelancers, to work. you know, because both promotions are going to need to up their roster with outsiders as well. This is a chance for them to get paid. Rossi obviously has millions of yen from the original Bushiroad sale, so he can throw a little bit of cash around. It's a good chance for these women to start earning the money they deserve. It's without going to AEW, which is also how you get paid.
Yeah. Also, I mean, yeah, like Mina Shirakawa rocking up in Ring of at the Ring of Honor tapings, and there's talk that some of the guys will be appearing in AEW or ROH around WrestleMania weekend, because a lot of them doing their own shows.
They're confirmed for Forbidden Door 3.
Yeah, like what's it's good that Forbidden Door 3 is seemingly going to expand to include CMLL and Stardom, because at this point, all the people that you would want in the matches from the New Japan roster are now in fucking AEW anyway. Like,
come see AEW superstar Kazuchika Okada and AEW superstar Jay White and AEW superstar Will Ospreay.
Literally, And that also, it's important at the same time as, you know, it's really good that AEW is an alternative place for people to go. There also needs to be other alternative places for people to go. It can't just be, otherwise it's, what's the difference between it and WWE, you know, if it's just eating everything and everyone.
But definitely check out at Resuramag, R-E-S-U-R-A-M-A-G, to keep up with that, where Trent will be, where Ryan will be, where Scott will be, where I'm sure they'll have other people joining them. It's got a really cool fucking logo. I'm very excited for this to drop.
I can't even claim credit for that. Ryan came in with all this great stuff and it's like, oh, wicked.
That's what I like. Like, being able to provide the content is great. Like, someone else do all the hard work and let me just fucking let me chat some shit to some friends and let me talk to some wrestlers and let me write some shit and you do all the hard work. Thanks, guys.
That's how I operate.
Libby, will you be doing anything in the wrestling sphere anymore?
I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, if you do for some reason follow me on Twitter, you know I'm not out there tweeting that much or doing that much. I don't know. We'll see, basically. I think I don't know. I think I try not to live online too much regardless. This is really fun. I had a really fun time doing a now defunct podcast where I like broke down the Stadium Stampede match. Gosh, I should probably, I don't know, it's super old. A really awesome guy called Sam, who I spoke to about that. I would do something like that again, but I don't really know. I think just have to work it out and see. I think, you know, much like wrestling, closing, finding a new path, I guess I'm kind of the same and I'm cool with that. I wish I had, you know, some really, I'm starting a new website. I'm not, nobody wants that either. But I think I'm just going to keep enjoying myself and doing stuff and seeing where everything goes and supporting all the really awesome people from wrestling. You know, doing really awesome
Libby's
stuff.
Libby's that rare breed who just watches wrestling to watch the wrestling and enjoy the wrestling, not to watch the wrestling and go online and talk about the wrestling and then do podcasts about the wrestling. And then she just watches the wrestling because she wants to enjoy the wrestling. That freaky wrestling fan, that unheard of wrestling fan.
That mystery. I, you know, I came to wrestling, although I do enjoy violence. I was for it. I didn't really grow up in like a sports household. I didn't really grow up in a wrestling household. I was just, you know, I was quite moved by the art form of it, discovering it online and being like, whoa, what is this? You know, there is this, you know, like a great fight scene in a film will make you feel something. And that's how I feel about wrestling. And you know, when someone's got insane acrobatic talent on top of that, or they've got insane stamina, or they make really cool physical choices with it, that's really cool. But I'm here for the feeling. I want to cry. I want to gasp. I want to you know, be sat on the sofa next to somebody clutching their arm, like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? And, you know, joining wrestling, I never been to a wrestling match. Didn't really have any wrestling friends. I didn't even tell my partner I liked wrestling. It was him that was like, we should watch some wrestling. And I was like, yeah, maybe. Okay, sure. I could get into that. And, you know, going to see it live for the first time and feeling the atmosphere is magical, amazing, nothing like it. And seeing it in person, it's like, it feels like such a privilege. And that's what I see wrestling as, like any other media I enjoy or I don't enjoy. It's really important to talk about, if you don't like something, why you don't like it. Critically think about, not just like, oh, that's shit, you know, shit talking something because you don't like it. It's just be like, oh, they suck. Why? Is really important. And wrestling is all part of that. And I just love to talk about it and hear people talk about it and be part of it and enjoy it. Much like film, much like TV, much like a good book. It's all just stories and different ways to enjoy them. Yeah.
That was a very poetic bow to tie onto the end of Into the Wrestleverse.
Oh, that's lovely.
I think that's a great way to wrap up Into the Wrestleverse. So yeah, look, this is the last episode. Just to reiterate, this is the last episode of Into the Wrestleverse. You won't be charged for Patreon going forward.
Ever.
You shouldn't really have been charged for this episode either. I'm not sure the timings, how that might have worked.
I'm going to be selling this in the back alley for $4.99. So if you want to actually listen to this, a bit awkward announcing that, you know, 46 minutes into the podcast. But if you want to access this episode,
in the back alley, in the back alleys of Australia,
yes,
super fun little frisbees that shine like rainbows, and they play sound out of them. It's super cool. Check it out. I don't know if you ever heard of a Sudda. But they're really great.
You didn't just say a word.
What?
You didn't just say a word.
Did you not hear any? What? A Sudda? I'm joking.
Oh.
Sudda.
As if I've never heard of it. Or a divide.
Have
you ever heard of those?
A look at it.
Blurers. Yeah, kids are super into them these days. Cassette. They buy them. they don't play them. They just put them on their shelves. So if you want to do that, I think that's really great.
Yeah, thank you guys for supporting Wrestle In. The history will always be there. It might peter out, someone might take over the reins. We don't know how it's gonna work. Some podcasts are still going up, but yeah, expect a massive downturn in the new content. There's only so many scheduled tweets. I think I schedule tweets for the month of March, and then the socials will very much die down a lot. So yeah, this is kind of at least not the death of Wrestle In, but certainly it's not. It's just not going to be the same, not the same level of content. But yeah, thank you so much for supporting us over the years, especially to the guys that are listening to this, because I know you guys are our biggest supporters, commenting on everything, liking on everything, retweeting everything, just constantly engaging in every possible way. We looked at every comment, we saw every like, we saw every retweet. It always meant the world to all of us, because we was putting our heart and soul into lots of this and we wanted people to engage with it, and you guys did. So yeah, thank you from the three of us. That's the last episode of Into the Wrestleverse for the Wrestle In Patreon. I've been KieranRH, and you can follow me on Twitter at KieranRH93.
I've been Libby Cadman, and you can follow me at Libby_Cadman if you dare.
Dun, dun, dun. And I've been Trent. You can follow me at One Up Culture and at Resura Mag, R-E-S-U-R-A.
Yeah.
It sounds like when you start saying like that, it's like Aretha Franklin.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means.
You can definitely make a play on that if you do videos as your opening like thing, as like the logo pops up. That was
all free ideas now. We don't need them anymore.
Aretha Franklin.
There's so much here. There are possibilities around us. That was Into the Wrestleverse. We are Wrestle In, and now we're out.